So we are going to discuss chapter shloka number 19 of Bhagavad Gita as it is chapter number 2. You can chant after me, Rudra Prabhu.
Ya enam veti hantaram.
Ya enam veti hantaram.
Yas chainam manyate hatam.
Yas chainam manyate hatam.
Ubhau tau na vijanito.
Ubhau tau na vijanito.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Ya enam veti hantaram.
Ya enam veti
hantaram. Yaschainam manyate hatam.
Yaschainam manyate hatam.
Ubhau tau na vijanito.
Ubhau tau na vijanito.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Yainam veti hantaram.
Yainam veti hantaram.
Yaschainam hanyate mat hatam. Yaschainam manyate hatam.
Yaschainam manyate hatam.
Ubhau tau na vijanito.
Ubhau tau na vijanito.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Ya
enam veti hantaram.
Ya enam veti hantaram.
Yaschainam manyate hatam.
Yaschainam manyate hatam.
Ubhau tau na vijanito.
Ubhau tau na vijanito.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
So we'll discuss now what are the various word meanings here.
Ya,
ya.
Let us go forward. Yaha,
yaha,
yaha.
Anyone who.
Enam,
enam.
This.
Veti,
knows.
Hantaram.
The killer.
Yaha.
Anyone who.
Cha.
Also.
Enam.
This.
Manyate.
Things.
Hatam.
Killed.
Ubhau.
Both.
Tau.
They.
Na.
Never.
Vijanitah
are in knowledge.
Na.
Never. What is this now?
I am.
Hold on. That has gone.
Na.
Never.
I am.
This.
Hanti.
Kills.
Na.
Nor.
Hanyate.
Is killed. So let us understand the shloka. Now first with the translation. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who thinks it slain is in knowledge. For the self slays not, nor is slain. Slain means killed. Ya enam. Enam is this. This means Ya enam veti hantaram, that one who knows this, that this soul is the killer, hantaram. Yascha enam manyate hatam, or he thinks that the soul is being killed. Ubhau tau na vijanito, ubhau means both of. In both situations, there are two people. There are two understandings, so to speak. One is thinking that the Atma is the killer, and the other is thinking that the Atma is killed. So there can be one person who has these two understandings. Those two understandings are wrong. Or you can say that there are two people with these two understandings, that Atma is the killer, and the other person is there saying the Atma is the killed. Both are not knowing properly. Why you are saying like this? Because I am hanti nahanyate. I am, this Atma cannot be killed and it cannot kill. Obviously, when Atma cannot be killed, then nobody can be a killer also. This is a little difficult point to understand. when you cannot kill something, then nobody is a killer.
Yes.
Because Atma cannot be killed.
Yes.
So how can anybody a killer?
Yes.
So, but it doesn't how to say promulgates, or it doesn't encourages violence, because violence means separation of Atma from body forcefully. So that doesn't, it is not encouraged by that. But when for the sake of dharma that kind of violence is needed, one should not hesitate also to do that kind of violence. If in case that dharma is needed to be done, especially in case of a kshatriya. In this verse, Krishna confirms the indestructible nature of the soul. You must have be wondering why the Lord is saying the same thing over and over again. You see, he has that told that the Lord, that the Atma is eternal. That itself means it cannot be killed. But to emphasize the same point, he is putting it a little differently. Atma is Shashwat. This is direct version. And then Vatirek means it cannot be killed. It is always existing. And then in opposite way, he is saying it cannot be killed at any point of time. Like this. Because even after hearing all this, we think that people are being killed. It is interesting that I had with my own eyes seen that there was an exorcist who was removing a ghost from one person. So normally they ask, before they remove the ghost, they ask who he is. It's quite funny. And then he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Bhikkhu." Fine. So how did you die? Think about it. The exorcist asked, this all happened in front of my eyes. It happened to one of my relatives. How did you die? I died because I came under the wheels of a car that the ghost was speaking. Now you see, the ghost itself is uneducated. If he had died, how can he speak? So you see, he's in such, I've seen it from my own eyes, so I cannot say no. There's nothing to be like, koi jhoot nahi bol raha, samne samne hua. I'm just telling you the stories to make you awake. Maybe you are tired, but it's actually an actual fact. I am Bhikkhu speaking like this. It's amazing that that person had died accidentally under the wheels of a car. So he is thinking, I have died. But if you have actually died, then how can you speak now? So even the ghost is confused because he is not educated in the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So it's not that by simply dying or so leaving the body, a person becomes educated. So you understand, the living entity never dies. What happens is, when the duration of karma gets finished, our body, this body as per our prarabdha karma, leaves the soul, and the soul takes its the subtle body with itself and then moves on to another body. That person who thinks that the jiva with such an indestructible nature is a killer using a sword or other instrument, and thinks that such a jiva is harmed by the sword, does not know. This is very easy to understand. If somebody thinks that with a sword you can kill the soul, or he thinks that by sword you can, that soul is killed, both are not in knowledge. Now this statement will look very easy for us to understand. But if you start applying in your own life or in our own life, it becomes very difficult. So many times we think that people have done wrong to us. Is it not? Okay, I give a concession. Even if they, suppose if they do something wrong to our body, maybe we should not tolerate, and we have to protect our body also. But if they have done something, at least in terms of words, can't we tolerate? And sometimes if a person does something to us in terms of words, we become so agitated that we want to do something bad in terms of his body, thinking that we can harm him. Is it not ignorance? So we ourselves are so much influenced by this kind of ignorance. The more we realize that we are sick, the more we will be eager to take the medicine. and not consider what is the taste of the medicine. Is it not? The difficulty in preaching is like treating a mad person. Any other person, if he has his eyes are problem, then you say, I would like to get my eyes fixed. If you ask a person, it seems you have some trouble with your eyes. Yeah, I have some trouble with their eyes. Would you suggest some medicine? Yes. And then he will be eager to take the medicine. If you have do you have some trouble? It looks like you have some trouble with your hand. Yes. Do you know some medicine? But if you say, it looks like you have trouble with intelligence. Huh? Intelligence? No, I am perfectly all right. Will you accept ki aapka dimag kharab ho gaya hai? Will anyone accept that he is mad? No. But this is how we have to accept that it is amazing madness we have, that we identify with the body. And constantly the mind is bombarding us with this concept that you are body, and by somehow they're engaging your senses and sense gratification, you can be happy. Although everybody else has not become happy, but you will surely become happy. This will come out true and nice to you, my dear Prabhu. Please try the sense gratification. So you understand my point? This is the difficulty. Anybody who says, I cannot chant Hare Krishna, he is not grounded in this understanding that he is not the body. If you understand that I am not the body, and you understand how I am thinking, identifying with the body, and how much this body is giving me suffering, one after another, there will be no question asked why will we not chant Hare Krishna. Even if you don't want to get love of God. That is a very, very nice point if you want to get love of God. But just to become detached from this body, also Hare Krishna mantra, chant Hare Krishna mantra. I'm telling you from a very low level of preaching. And this is not the goal of chanting Hare Krishna. Because by getting love of God, automatically you realize yourself. But what kind of ignorance I am actually immersed in, one should think. That Atma, a very fine particle of consciousness which cannot be cut or transformed in any way, is not a killer, nor is it killed. We have discussed these points, that Atma cannot be transformed by any material arrangements. Transformation, samajh rahe na? It cannot grow, it cannot produce some byproducts. It doesn't happen like that. It is not that one Atma is giving rise to two Atma and two Atmas are giving rise to three Atmas or four Atmas. It doesn't work like that. Atma is eternal. It is neither the performer of the act of killing nor the victim of killing. This is easy to understand.
Yeah.
One should understand that there is no destruction of the Atma simply by separation of the Atma from the body. No problem. But don't we see in our own, in this world, people how much they are crying when they don't have this knowledge that my father has. And even if they say like that, my father has gone away, my father has died. But they don't understand where their father is going. Even the father is, before his death, may be saying, I'm going now, my dear son, you please take care of your mother. Now if you ask him, where are you going? That he does not know. That itself is very frightening. For 1 or 2 days, if you want to go and stay somewhere, another place, we definitely want to make sure where we're going to stay and what we're going to eat. These are the two priorities. And we, at the end of our lives, we have to go to another destination and we practically have no botheration about it, and there is no information. From a normal perspective, normal people, nobody can inform us where we are going. Think about it. This is very, very important. All the people who tell us don't do bhakti, they have no idea where they are going. And they can't help us also. Bhagavad Gita can help us. Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha, madhyek tishtanti rajasa, jaganna guna vratyastha, adho gacchanti tamasa. At least a person with some sensibility or some saneness, pagal nahi hai, if he is not mad, then he will think about where I am going in next life. We do our duties as the sense of duty in this world. Make sense to you? We have to do our duties. But it's a very simple point, but our highest duty or foremost duty is to understand that this body, this human form of body, has been given to us exclusively so that we go back to Godhead. This is the only body in which we can execute austerities by which we can progress in Krishna consciousness. Does it make sense to you? This is very important. Prabhupada is repeating it so many times. After several times hearing also, we tend to forget this point. I tend to forget this point. It's not for eating, meeting, sleeping and defending. So, and it's amazing that we have to eat. We are forced to sleep. Is it not? We think we are enjoying our sleep, but actually we have to sleep. We are forced to sleep, so to speak. This is a misery. If we don't sleep, then we become miserable. If we don't eat, we become miserable. Although these things are not needed for the soul. Ye deha ka dharma atma pe aaropit kiya ja raha hai. The quality of the soul, or the needs of the body are being imposed to the soul. We are not supposed to become old. Just imagine, you are not never old. You will never become old. We are never old, and it is being imposed on us. So this diagnosis will help us to understand we are in a very bad situation. All of us, including myself. So we must be enthusiastic to execute the austerities of Krishna consciousness, which are not very much compared to what it was earlier. Nothing actually. Nothing. Okay. Note, here it is explained that the soul is never killed by anyone. Therefore, no one can be a killer. This argument cannot be used, however, to rationalize violence. That means I'm doing violence anyhow. Atma cannot be killed, so I can kill kill all the animals and eat them nicely. What is the difficulty? But then, my dear person, would you like it to happen to you? Is it not? You are very eager to kill people. But what if somebody kills you? Using the same argument, same rationalization. So that is how we should understand Shastra in Parampara. Otherwise, we'll use the Shastra to engage or to rationalize our sense gratification. Okay. It is interesting if you hear the discussion of Srila Prabhupada with one of the Christian priests. He says, very, very blunt way, he says, animals have no soul. We believe that animals have no soul. Like this, he said. Just, what is the value of your belief? And Srila Prabhupada gives a very striking example that the kids, the small children cannot speak also. Does it mean that you can kill them and eat them? 1 year, 2 year kids cannot speak. So like this. So it used to be a duty of the king to protect everyone who's born in the kingdom. Everyone. Praja means everyone who has taken birth. But anyhow, now it is not done. So they will rationalize. The scriptures prohibited unnecessary violence, separating the body from the Atma. It is considered a sin. The jiva is responsible for acting against the scripture and must bear karma. What are the points to be understood here? Unnecessary violence, because in the scripture there is an injunction of yajna in which the animal is sacrificed, but it is not unnecessary for karma kanda and all that, and that living entity will be promoted to human form of life or will go to swarga. These two things were there. But even that kind of yajna is not prescribed in Kali Yuga, because there are no brahmanas who can have the capacity to execute that kind of yajna. So now everybody who will do this kind of yajna will only be for the purpose of their own sense gratification. They will eat that animal. And what will happen? In the future lives, they will have to be eaten by that animal. Now there can be a question. So Prabhuji, that animal must have killed that person in the previous life. That's why this animal is getting killed. So why there is karma, there is reaction? Yes, that also is a possibility. That may be possible. That is the possibility. But then again, action is equal to reaction. So you are now killing the animal, saying that this animal has killed me. Okay, fine. But then again, this animal will kill you in the next life. Action, reaction, action, reaction. So the only way we can come out of all this chain is by being Krishna conscious.
Yes.
So we cannot rationalize violence and then get away with it. Sometimes people think that they can get away with the police. Fine, my dear person, but you cannot get away from Yamadutas. Oh, nobody is seeing my violence. Nobody is seeing my sin. No, there are 14 cameras. I believe 12 or 14 cameras are there which are seeing what we are doing. So, and we will be penalized for that. So one should behave properly. The Shruti also makes such statements. Before I go further, I just did not clarify further. So how a person can come out of this karmic situation? By hearing from scriptures in the association of devotees, by which he learns to behave responsibly, which is expected from a human being. We cannot say that I was not knowing. That doesn't work out. That doesn't work out. Now also, some people will be very much objecting to this point. Prabhuji, people don't know dharma, so why they're getting punished? Actually, the problem is lying with the ruler of this state. Earlier, everybody was knowing dharma because the arrangement was made by the king that everybody knows his dharma. That's why Lord has given this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to the Rajarshis, to the king who were saintly kings, so that they make an arrangement that Vaishya or Brahmanas or Kshatriya or Shudra, they know dharma. Now, if you think deeply, the arrangement is made so that people don't know dharma.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about this? People are being trained to not know dharma. And it is being promoted that dharma is causing violence. But you ask them, is the rifles made by dharma? You are saying dharma is causing violence, but is that Bhagavad Gita is teaching you to make rifles? Or bombs are like that. He's not teaching you that. Rather, it says, Ashantasya kutha sukham. A person who is not peaceful, how can we be happy? So all those things are there, just people have no sense of dharma, they don't know what is the meaning of dharma, and they use it in the sense, just jhuta aarop laga rahe hain. So a wrong allegation on dharma, that dharma causes violence, dharma causes fighting among people. So we must eliminate dharma. That's what their proposition is. You know about this, but I'm just bringing it to your notice. Okay. Now we'll go further. The Shruti also makes such statements. Hanta chen manyate, hantum hatas chen manyate hatam. Ubhautau na vijanito, nayam hanti na hanyate. Same, but it's from another Upanishad. See, Bhagavad Gita is Upanishad. So many Upanishadic text will look similar to the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Brahma Vidya. So it's the essence of all Upanishads. So essence means it will take it will have shlokas which will be bearing resemblance to the shlokas of various other Upanishads. And beyond that also. If the killer thinks that he kills, or the killed person thinks that he has been killed, both do not know the nature of the soul. He does not kill or get killed. It's very same point is being mentioned. Yes. In statements such as Mahinsyat Sarva Bhutani, do not harm any living entity, the violence is explained as violence concerning the separation of Atma from the body. Now, I will read it and then explain this. The statement does not prove that the Atma is the killer, since the Atma which is not killed exists even when separated from his body. So now somebody can raise a question. You are saying that Atma cannot be killed. That means the violence cannot be done to the Atma. So, but we hear shlokas like this. Ma hinsyat sarva bhutani. Ma means not. Do not commit violence to any living entity. So this seems to be a contradiction. On one side, you are saying that the Atma cannot be killed. So where is the question of violence? In this shloka, this Bhagavad Gita shloka, you are saying that Atma cannot be killed. If it cannot be killed, then where is the question of violence? Just like, can I cut Akash? Can I cut space? Not possible. So how can be there any question of committing violence to space or Akash? So that can question can come, and then a person can object why this shastric injunction is there that one should not commit violence to any living entity. So that's what he explains, that the violence in this context refers to the separation of the jiva who is destined to suffer or enjoy his karma in that particular body. He's attached to his body. Every one of us are attached to his body, and we feel inconvenienced. If you use that, rather we become very afraid when we are killed. So it is inconvenience to the soul. So it is called, it is sin. Srila Prabhupada explains this in that same discussion with the priest. He says that, suppose I am in this room and this room doesn't belong to you. So I am not the room, but if you break my room, is it not sin? Will you not be punished by the law? What authority you have to break my room? Okay? Like that. So one should not be violent to any living entity, but we must remember that unnecessary violence is rejected here. There is some violence which is necessary, just like if you are going to cook now, or even you eat, if you take breath. So many living entities are killed. So in this world, this world itself is violent. This world, material world, is full of violence. It cannot be, you cannot make the violence zero here. You can't stop breathing. Simply by breathing, so many living entities are killed. Simply by, you clean the homes, then violence is committed. So that you cannot eliminate. But unnecessary violence has to be eliminated or not committed here. That is the point. And that's why when we chant Hare Krishna, this jiva pradh or the violence to other living entity gets also eliminated, but as far as possible, a devotee should not commit violence to even ants and other living entities. That has to be understood. A small point on this regard, or regarding devotional service, you know this story, but I will again like to say this. There was a person named Bhikari. Some of the devotees will know this. And he was killing the deer half. He will kill the deer, he will cut the neck of the deer or the other animals he was killing half, so that they will suffer and then die. So when Naraji was going near that forest, so then he was seeing so many animals in that suffering situation. As a devotee, he was feeling so much compassion. So then he understood that this person is doing that. So as this Mrigari was aiming at a deer, he hushed the deer. The deer went away. So Mrigari became very angry. And Mrigari asked Naraji, why you hushed my deer away? So then Naraji asked him that, why are you doing like this? Then he says that when he half kill the animals and then when they suffer, I like so much. So can you see how much gross person that person must be? And this is how he has been trained by his father. So we can, then Naraji showed to him, if you kill him fully, that is not such a sin. But if you purposefully give them pain, that is such a heavy sin. So now, you understand the point? Why I'm trying to say that even in our own life, sometimes we accidentally may kill some living entity that cannot be avoided. But intentionally, if I kill an ant it feels good or something like that, that is not good. That is not good. This is called jiva aparadh. And that itself is an obstacle in devotional service. It's not only Vaishnava Aparadha and other Aparadha. Jiva Aparadha is also an obstacle in devotional service. You understand my point? That's why I'm mentioning this point. Then that's why then further then he becomes delivered by Narad Muni and he says, oh, he gives up his profession. And after 1 year, when he meets Narad Muni, so before paying obeisances, he's saying like this, and then he pays obeisances. So Naradji asked him, what happened? Then he said that there were some ants in front of me whom I don't want to kill. So this is the potency of devotional service. It's mentioned in 11th canto also. Vishwadruhopihi. If a person is even violent to the whole world, still that person becomes rectified by the process if he accepts Krishna consciousness. This is so powerful. Naturally, a devotee, because of chanting Hare Krishna, his heart becomes pure and soft. He does not want to commit violence to others, even by his words, even by his thoughts, even by his actions. By actions, by words or by his thoughts, he does not want to commit any violence to others. Even if they commit violence to him, just like we heard yesterday, Haridas Thakur's story. They were committing such a great violence to him. But he did not even think of committing any kind of violence towards these Muslims. Just reflect upon it. It's amazing, is it not? He's being beaten. Just being slapped in public is such a shame. And he's being beaten like a criminal in 22 marketplaces. And Chakra had come. If we would have been in his place, what he would have said, see Chakra, how much they want to harm me. Kill them immediately. But he was praying for them so that this Chakra will not harm them. This is amazing. It is inconceivable how the devotees think and why they think like this. It is just, I would say, impossible for a conditioned soul to think like this. Anyways, we just drifted a little bit. But the point what I'm trying to say that we should not commit violence. That should be our aspiration. One nice point of His Holiness Radhakund Maharaj says very nicely. He says that anyhow the living entity is suffering, is it not? So if I speak harsh words, he will suffer more. So can we avoid speaking harsh words to people at least? Hopefully you are not beating up your brothers and sisters like that, most probably. And my sister used to remember, we used to have so much fight. I'm like, yes, because you are not devotees. Now we don't want to fight at all. So this is the nature of a devotee. He doesn't want to commit violence to anybody. This line, if you start reflecting on this, a devotee does not want to commit violence to anybody. That's why Arjuna is soft-hearted. He's manifesting his soft-hearted nature. He does not want to commit violence to his superiors. Unnecessarily. But then he understands later on it is necessary because it's injection of the Lord. Okay. So this is very easy to understand now. The argument is that the separation of the body from Atma is violence and that should not be done unnecessarily. Note, though this is quoted by Baldev and Ramanuj several times, the original source is not given. A similar expression, Nahinsyat Sarva Bhutan, is found in Mahabharata as mentioned earlier. So, Maharaj has given this point that this injunction is there. I mean, even though he can't find the reference of it. Parpat Pashila Prabhupada. When an embodied living entity is hurt by fatal weapons, it is to be known that the living entity within the body is not killed. The spirit soul is so small that it is impossible to kill him by any material weapon, as will be evident from subsequent verses. Nor is the living entity killable because of his spiritual constitution. So there are two things. It is so small that no weapon can hit it. So then you can say, no, maybe we don't have a weapon right now by which we can hit the soul. But in the future, maybe we can have a weapon by which we can hit the soul. So then second line says, no. By its constitution itself, it is spiritual. You cannot kill it. You just cannot kill it. But there's something very interesting. Atma cannot be killed, my dear Prabhuji. And it cannot be affected by weapons, my dear Prabhu. Very nice. But I am seeing that when Krishna is fighting the battle, Bhishma Dev is throwing arrows and it hits the body of Krishna and blood is coming. This proves that the Lord is not having a spiritual form. Yes, I've concluded. No, my dear Prabhu, it's not like this. The Lord is in Kshatriya Avesh. Avesh, you understand? He's absorbed in the mood of Kshatriya. So if he does not see blood coming out of his transcendental form, he won't feel like fighting. Suppose, he could have done like this. And neither Bhishma would feel like fighting with him. If Bhishma Dev would have thrown arrows and Krishna would say, ha 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 ha, you cannot cut the soul, you can't cut me, yeah, ha ha ha, then there is no point in that drama. So Krishna creates an illusion, presents an illusion. Illusion means he presents his Leela in a way that a person feels, oh, the blood is coming out. Because of his Leela Shakti. Otherwise, Bhishma Dev will not find any, so to say, juice in fighting. And Krishna himself is also not fighting. And then, Krishna becomes angry and then he comes towards Bhishma Dev to fight. He is still having a transcendental form which cannot be cut and touched by a weapon. But But he just manifests this pastime. For the sake of pastime, his Leela Shakti manifests like this. So if anybody answers your questions you like this, you can answer them like this. On one hand, Krishna himself is saying the Atma cannot be cut. On other hand, we say that the arrows are piercing on the body of Krishna. That's what Rishabhdev says, idam shariram mamadur vibhavyam. My body, the form of the Lord, is very difficult to understand. Unless a person is a transcendental stage, we cannot understand. So we are not in the transcendental stage, so we repeat the words of the acharyas who are in the transcendental stage and who can understand truly what happens when Krishna is doing these pastimes. Be very, careful in understanding these points. What is killed or is supposed to be killed is the body only. Very interesting. Why Srila Prabhupada is saying supposed to be killed? Because the body is anyhow dead. Can you kill earth? Can you kill water? Can you kill space or whatever? All these elements which are there in the body, gross body, we cannot kill them. Think about it. Bhagavad Gita is there to help us to think. My dear devotees, can any one of you kill earth? Prithvi ko maar diya. Kisi ne ko bolta. It's not possible. Can you kill water? So all those things are the constituents of our body.
Yes. Okay.
75%, if I am not wrong, of our body is water only. Is it not 75%? So you understand? If we really understand, we will not go really, somehow that I don't have the capacity, but somehow that if a person's maintenance is arranged, how he can keep his body and soul together, then he should never work hard like a dog. I will use the strong words only. This is complete illusion. We need so less to maintain ourselves, is it not? Although everybody will not accept these things, but we don't have to work like a dog or work very hard to maintain this miserable body, which actually gives misery one after another. But I know people will not accept. We should work hard for spiritual realization as fast we can go for the next destination in our Krishna consciousness. As fast we can go. Okay. So the body is also not killed, it is supposed to be killed. This, however, does not at all encourage killing of the body. The Vedic injunction is Ma Hinsyat Sarva Bhutani. I don't know why this devotee who has prepared this. It's not Bhagavad Gita 9.4. I don't know how it just came here. Please neglect this. It's not there. It's not the reference. Ma Hinsyat Sarva Bhutani. Never commit violence to anyone. It is not in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. I'm just surprised how it just came here. It cannot come here. It is not possible. It's not there in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. This is an error. The devotee who's preparing it, he did not probably look it clear in a way. Let me just check. There is no shloka like this. I don't know why the devotee has. We are discussing 2.19, is it? 2.18, is it not?
Yes.
Once again. I just came. I don't know. How?
Yeah, it is there, though. 9.4, it is shloka.
Mahinsa Sarva Bhutani.
It is a last line. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta mutina mat sthani sarvabhutani.
No. It is mat no. It's in the purport, it is not there. Somehow the devotee has who prepared it, and let me see if he's there so I can chastise him nicely. Do some violence. Oh, he left. So I cannot commit. He's there. Rahulji Maharaj, did you not notice? He's smiling nicely, put his smiling photo. Why this 9.4 is coming? There is no 9.4 here, so please omit it. So, anyways, Mahinsa Sarva Bhutani, never commit violence to anyone, nor does understand. It's not from Bhagavad Gita 9.4. I don't know how it came. What understanding? I don't know, just why he has put it here. just don't give additional references. Nor does understanding that this Mahasarva, Nas Hinsyasar Bhutani is from Mahabharata, but it is not from Bhagavad Gita. Nor does understanding that the living entity is not killed encourage animal slaughter. We hear from Bhagavad Gita, Brahmacharyam Ahinsam Cha Sharidam Tap Uchyate. Ahinsa is one of the tapasya of the body. This is one we have heard. I like that. Killing the body of anyone without authority is abominable and is punishable by the law of the state as well as by the law of the Lord. So this is very easy to understand. This we have discussed. Arjuna, however, is being engaged in killing for the principle of religion and not whimsically. So the point what was being mentioned was, which we have emphasized, was that unnecessary violence, violence which is supported by Shastra, has to be done, can be done, and it will not generate reaction for us. Even just like very simple example, people ask, you eat vegetarian things, we the devotees, so will you not get sin? The plants are being killed. But we must remember, first of all, the violence is minimum. Killing a plant killing an animal is not same as killing a plant. If you are so magnanimous, then why are you, it's such a broad vision, then why are you killing an animal who's crying in front of you? At least the plant is not crying. And also, the wheat, he leaves the body, the plant. Shashikant Prabhu, do you agree? The wheat leaves the body and then we take the wheat. The rice leaves the body and then we take the rice. Most of the cases, the fruits, if we take, they're anyhow going to drop. So when you take the fruits, we're not killing the plants most of the time, like that. And they are meant to be eaten by human beings. Human beings are not meant to eat meat. And when we offer to Krishna, this is very important, my dear devotees, if we offer anything to Krishna, just like some fruit or flower, that plant also get eternal benefit. Not only that, we get benefit. So there is no violence. Okay? I'll stop here and take some questions. Barbaric saw Sudarshan Chakra fight the whole Mahabharata war. I don't know why Prabhuji has said this. I don't know. We are just converting from one form to another. Yeah, we are not converting. We are accepting one form to another. We don't convert. We are immutable. Okay. So now, if there are no questions, you have any questions? Yes.
Prabhu, you are saying that body is going to be killed. No, body can be left.
No, body is supposed to be killed. They think that the body is killed. Body cannot be killed also because our body is already dead. Body was never living only. So how can you kill the body? You can kill something which is living.
What is the meaning of supposed to be killed?
Supposed to mean means tatha kathit roop se. Sochte hain ki sharir mar gaya hai. They think that the body is dead. Is it not? If father is living, father is dead. All their life we have seen, not seen that father. This is very strong argument for me when I practice Krishna consciousness. That person who is saying don't do bhakti, I am not able to see him also. Why should I listen to him? Then Prabhuji, why should I listen to you? Yes, you should not listen to me. You should listen to Bhagavad Gita. You should not listen to me. If I say something not as per Shastra, you should not listen to me at all. Not at all you should listen to me. And that's why I don't say anything except Shastra. If I say preach Krishna consciousness, I'm not saying my version. Is it not? Krishna says you will get his blessings. If I say Hare Krishna will deliver you, I'm nobody to say this. Shastra is speaking. We're just repeating the words of the Shastra. Okay? So if Rahul Prabhu is there, I would like to ask him where did he get this reference of Bhagavad Gita 9.4? He's just smiling. I don't know. Just put a smiling picture. Okay, no problem. We'll forgive you because we have learned today no violence. So I will not make you unhappy by chastising you. No problem. It happens sometimes. Actually, it happens with all of us. I will always remember that incident when I was explaining this Bhagavatam. about why the Lord appeared from the womb of Mother Deviki, and then it is Acharya explains about Mother Yashoda, and the two devotees translated. And I also checked it, and I never thought about Mother Yashoda. And then when I was explaining the class, then I noticed it. So Krishna gives, somehow we get bewildered sometimes. I don't know how it creeped in. It's okay. It was not 9.4. So, okay. So, we stop here. Would you like to do Parayan? We have time, or? Okay. Today, we have some time. 10 minutes it will take. We'll do Parayan. I'll just stop here.